Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. They come. Wait, see.
Hello and welcome to a special edition episode of the Rookie Fever Podcast. I am your host, Dave FF underscore Spaceman Wright, bringing you another rookie profile series on the Rookie Fever Podcast, where Shane Swagger at Swagzo0G, Mike Fanero at Aardvark TV, and myself talk to our favorite rookie analysts to give you a focused and in-depth look at the most exciting rookies from the 2021 class. Now, tonight's guest is a favorite follow of mine on the old tweet machine. He's the master of puns, and don't let his dad jokes fool you. His wit is unrivaled. He's an incredibly driven and hardworking person in this fantasy space we're in. He's the host of the Dynasty Theory Fantasy Football Show, which is part of the Ross Tucker Podcast Network, and more. So be sure to check out the Dynasty Theory Fantasy Show on your favorite podcast platform. He's also the host of the Fantasy Football Confidential and can be found on Twitter at the Bauer Club. Mr. John Bauer, welcome to the Rookie Fever Rookie Profile Series.
Dave, every interaction we have, I thoroughly enjoy. You and I, we just did a rookie mock draft together. We are going to be doing what is it going to be? 11, 12 hours total between that Thursday and Friday of the NFL draft. I immediately asked you to join our guest list. You were able to make a little bit of time for us. So, but every time we have a conversation, I leave that conversation smarter than when I walked in. So while you're having me as a guest, I have to sing your praises just a little bit. But yeah, Dave, I'm ready to rock and roll tonight.
I'm glad you're rock and roll. And one of the benefits of me hosting you this time instead of the other way around is I get to edit all those nice things you just said out of the show. So
if you edit any of that out, we'll never speak again.
All right, sir. All right. Well, you hit it right there. I invited you on because I had a blast doing that mock rookie draft with Kevin, who actually was a guest last week on the Rookie Fever podcast. So I really respect a lot of your process, and I'm just drawn to people whose processes I respect. And I love how you move up and down draft boards. I think my first interaction with you ever was in a rookie mock on a show for the Monocle Dynasty podcast. And I really just liked how you maneuver the draft board, acquire value. And to put it simply, I just enjoy hearing you talk strategy because it challenges me to think and look at things from a different perspective, and it just activates the brain. So I really enjoy that. I highly recommend people go listen to your podcast, the Dynasty Theory Pod and the FF Confidential, because they're going to learn a lot about how you move up and down startup drafts, how you're a high volume trader and the benefits to that, and also how you really preach being adaptable and flexible and admitting your mistakes and learning from them. But tonight we're going to talk rookies. We're going to talk Amon-Ra St. Brown, wide receiver from the University of Southern California. But before we get into him, let's zoom in a little bit and talk about your rookie wide receiver evaluation process.
It's going to be probably a little bit redundant for your listeners because I went to school for applied mathematics, and I can say I got very good at table tennis and actually stuck around college for one extra year. I follow probably a similar mindset to a lesser extent of what you're looking at and what you're preaching to your listeners. And it's very metric based. And I'm not a huge film guy, but I've started to try to watch a little bit more. I'm not going to be able to sit there and say, you know, that player's body is moving at this angle and it helps them do this and that and that. But, you know, watching a little bit more, but having the people that you trust, Ray Garvin, he does incredible work over there at Destination Devi. And he's somebody that if I ever have a question or if I want, you know, just look at his Twitter feed for crying out loud and you'll be able to see different things about a film breakdown. But I'm with you, Dave, and I'm certainly more of a spreadsheet guy. And is it bulletproof? No, but I think it allows us, and you could probably go into even more depth, but like you start to see those minimum thresholds that you want to see certain players achieve. And you and I, or you talked about this when we did that, the mock draft with Kevin, and you said, hey, John, you know, just because you have an 18-year-old breakout age, that doesn't mean you're this much more likely than somebody with a 19-year-old breakout age. And, you know, but as long as you meet those minimum thresholds, that's where we start to see some good historical comps and data. But yeah, so in a nutshell, I'm certainly in camp analytics, but I'm never going to say, you know, I don't know how you feel, but I can't stand the arguments analytics versus film, because both of them have to come together. And while I'm certainly more comfortable with the numbers aspect, I'm never going to completely shun somebody because they're bringing that film approach.
100% in agreement with you just said, John. Some of my favorite people in this community are quote unquote film grinders. And honestly, they're better fantasy football players than I am. They're better at evaluating talent than I am. However, I think I possibly do certain things better than they do, just like they do better things than I do. But you definitely have to respect other disciplines, because if that was the case that metrics was better than everything, then I would be getting 100% of my rookie picks correct. And I guarantee you that is not the case. Now, I actually want to go a little bit off script here, because I mentioned earlier how you are a master at moving up and down the draft boards, understanding value, understanding tiers. Do you approach rookie drafts in that same way? Are you moving up and down rookie drafts, finding the value, understanding where picks fall off in value, etc.? For our listeners at Rookie Fever, can you tell us how you approach rookie drafts?
With my veteran rankings, and I use the air quotes, and my rookie rankings, I fall into the tier, you know, base rankings. And it's really tough the way you just asked that question. Every rookie draft, especially this year, is going to be completely different. And I take part in exclusively super flex leagues. There's going to be some leagues where we could see four quarterbacks go in the first six picks. There's some where maybe Zach Wilson or Trey Lance, your league mates don't really like him, and he slips 110, 111. Kyle Pitts, that range of outcomes is 103, 104 to 110, you know. And then when we start talking about second round players, your second round is going to look completely different than my second round. And heck, when we did that mock draft, we were pretty much all different at like 106.
Yeah.
And you and I were both going in kind of more with that analytics approach, and our draft boards look completely different. So I would say get your guy. You know, it certainly helps doing startups with rookies included at this point, because you can kind of see where they're slated. And of course, startup ADP is a little bit different than rookie draft ADP, existing league versus startup. But yeah, I would say I steer more towards get my guy, but it certainly helps to at least have that range. Okay, Amon-Ra St. Brown, he's not going to go 105. That's an exaggeration there. But if I have the 105, I can certainly move back and still expect to get a player like Amon-Ra. And I just love to say Amon-Ra.
It's smooth. It's just easy to say. Sometimes I start saying it and I'm like, am I saying it right? Because this is just so smooth. It can't be this good.
I butcher so many names. I'm sure I'm going to butcher his name at least once tonight.
Well, you're doing well so far, my friend. We've kind of danced around it. Let's zoom in just a little bit more. Now, I just want to say, you talking about being a numbers guy, analytics guy, a little tear rant rolled down my cheek, because I remember the first time you asked me a question about the old database, the rookie profile database or the rookie prospect database. And man, to see you just go off and turn it into your own thing has been really cool. So welcome to the spreadsheet nerd club, my friend.
And I have to say, I'm sure Dave mentions this, and of course he's going to say, yes, my database is fantastic. But I'm telling you, I have nothing to gain from this endorsement whatsoever. Your database has saved me. I can't tell you how many hours strictly research. You get in there, you want to see players going back to like 2005 or whatever year it is. How does the 2021 class compare? Oh, breakout age, draft age of 18, da, 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 da. boom, there's my five prospects for historical comps. It would take, I mean, you could tell me how long it takes. Days, weeks, months to put it together. But it's, if you haven't checked that out, it is absolutely tremendous.
Oh my goodness. Too many compliments tonight. So that's just gives me a perfect segue into going to the next question then. So what actually are you looking for when you're going through a spreadsheet or when you're trying to get a sense of a production profile? What are you zeroing in on?
It's, at least for wide receivers, draft age. I love, you know, and all this is from Dave's database. The draft age, how many seasons they played in NCAA, breakout age, dominator rating, something that is not easily found, yards per team pass attempt. So if you're looking at it overall, very high level, that's probably something you're not going to think of. But with the information you put together, boom, it's right there. And again, with all of that stuff, it's those minimum thresholds. You know, as long as you're not a 22-year-old rookie, I think that's kind of the ballpark there. NCAA seasons, we like to see those early declares, breakout age. I think those are the ones that really high level can really help you through your wide receiver process from an analytics approach.
Awesome, man. I love to hear it. And we're on the same page with a lot with basically everything you just said. So you ready to get into Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Yes, I laughed and I told my wife this. This should take half an hour. We didn't even get to Amon-Ra St. Brown, and you can't get me to shut up. I have been jacked for this episode, but yes, let's talk about Amon-Ra.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
All right, Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's going to be a 21-year-old rookie out of USC. He averaged 5.9 receptions per game, 75-point receiving yards per game, and 0.53 receiving touchdowns per game throughout his career at USC while averaging 12.8 yards per reception. He averaged a very solid 28.3% seasonal dominator rating in college, which represents, you know, the percentage of his team's receiving yards and touchdowns averaged together throughout his career. So that's kind of just a quick snapshot. I didn't want to get too into it because I know that's going to be a lot of your process. The reason why I invited you on tonight, just besides that it's a chance to talk to you, is that when we were doing that rookie mock with Kevin for Hammercast on the Double D's podcast, you were extremely bullish on Amon-Ra St. Brown. What exactly excites you about Amon-Ra St. Brown, and what do you like about his college production profile?
When you look at Amon-Ra St. Brown, freshman year, led the team in receptions. At quarterback, it was JT Daniels. Nobody to get too excited about. Michael Pittman was on that team. He went toe-to-toe with Pittman in 2019. Both actually had really productive seasons, and Pittman edged him out. But we see Michael Pittman with that second-round draft capital in the NFL, and then he really started to come on towards the end of the season, and that was with Philip Rivers at quarterback in Indianapolis. And I'm kind of bullish on Michael Pittman as well. Amon-Ra St. Brown, he also exhibited a little bit of that ability to line up everywhere. He was in the slot. He was out wide. He was even in the backfield on several occasions. The first two seasons in college, 9 touchdowns total. In 6 games in 2020, he had 7. You know, so I think he has shown the ability to find the end zone. But one thing that's really going to help people that like Amon-Ra St. Brown, you're probably not going to have to draft him where I'm looking to take him. And a lot of that is that recency bias. They haven't seen a lot of him recently. And I brought this up on that mock draft we did, 6 games. That's not a huge sample size. People aren't really thinking about that. But you mentioned it. So much production at a young age. And I went through a spreadsheet and I started narrowing it down. Draft age of 21 or under, 3 NCAA seasons, yards per team pass attempt of at least 1.75, college dominator, I think you said what, 28%?
For over the average for his 3-year career.
And I think it might have hit 30%. And if that's wrong information, that's from the database, so don't blame me. And then the 18-year-old breakout age. So when you look at the players that are there, Sammy Watkins, N'Keal Harry, Christian Kirk, Dante Moncrief. Okay, John, why do you like them? Amari Cooper, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyler Boyd, Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, Robert Woods. All. And I'm not saying Amon-Ra St. Brown is DeAndre Hopkins. Hopefully he's not Dante Moncrief. But I do think that shows you the range of outcomes, but such high-level players there. And I'm excited about Amon-Ra. I think there's a very clear first three wide receivers in this class. At least I think so. And then I have Amon-Ra as wide receiver four. But again, once you get to that range this year, some people might have him wide receiver 10. And I get it, you know, especially at that point. Like I said, get your guy, but my guy is Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Whew. I liked it. Now, I'm going to quickly summarize. College production, check. Early declare, check. And his efficiency metrics, check. Like, check, check, check. Burkhead age, check. So a lot of things you talked about, and I'll even add this too to his production profile. He had, I believe, over 20 returns in college and a return touchdown. That demonstrates some dynamism as well, because that's been found in the past that special teams ability illuminates this dynamism in the NFL that adds predictiveness to a profile. So that's another plus for him too that we haven't gotten into.
You listen to Dynasty Theory. If anybody else here listens to Dynasty Theory or Fantasy Football Confidential, this happens every episode. I'll give my spiel. Dan, Mitch, Linda, or Troy, they'll give their spiel. But as they're talking, I think of something else. I'm like, I got to get this out. But you talk about being dynamic and the ability to return, being involved in the return game. That's one reason that Hakeem Butler, Kelvin Harmon, Tyler Johnson, they slipped in NFL draft. And I'm sure there's other reasons as well. But those are three guys that were fantasy dynasty darlings pre-NFL draft. And I think their ability and willingness to be involved in the return game might have affected their draft capital, at least slightly.
When you have a stiff competition, or say you are raw, because everyone always says the NFL is not a developmental league, there is an added benefit of getting on the field for special teams. If you can showcase your talents, Antonio Brown's a classic example of this. He had some stiff competition when he first got the NFL, low draft capital, got a chance to do it on special teams. That got him opportunities. So the more opportunities that these prospects that we're talking about can get on the field to show their talent is a plus. Hey, maybe he gets injured. Maybe his path to the NFL doesn't go exactly as planned. It's good to have one more tool in the belt so he does get another
Absolutely.
Shot.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's job security. Anything you can do to add to your arsenal can't hurt you. So I completely agree.
John, you just said it. Amon-Ra St. Brown is your wide receiver four. But in the attempt to be unbiased or temper the fever here on Rookie Fever, what are some things Amon-Ra St. Brown needs to improve on, needs to fill in the gaps on their profile that you've noticed when you've been evaluating Amon-Ra St. Brown as a prospect?
Now, a lot of this is not going to come really from the spreadsheet, but drops, this isn't, you know, I use the corny line. It's not a JBO. It's not a John Byer original. You know, this information's out there from a ton of fantastic people. Watch film and, you know, you could look at different blurbs about him. But there were drops. But from what I've seen and read, it seems like it's just concentration issues. And that's something that has popped up for wide receivers in the past, that they had drops in college and they corrected it. And it was just focus. At times, lazy route running, that looks like an issue. And that reminds me of somebody at the NFL level, Amari Cooper, where people said there's times that it looks like he takes plays off. But as an actual route runner, Amari Cooper's fantastic. So I think that's something, while it is a negative today, maybe that could be resolved. Is he going to be a dominant alpha number one receiver for fantasy purposes? Probably not. But when we start to get into these comps that we're going to talk about in a minute with, you know, overall projections with floor and ceiling, I think he could be a wide receiver too. And getting him in the second round of a rookie draft, that's really all you need him to be.
Whenever I hear drops as a major concern or prospect, I understand why that is a major issue, because it can be a signal to people for a much larger issue of, oh, this wide receiver can't catch the ball. And that could affect them to get targets, the NFL, and all things along those lines. However, drops is also a very subjective stat. It's not very sticky year to year. Drop rate's not very sticky year to year. It fluctuates, it's volatile, and we've seen it be fixed at the NFL level. So if you have a belief in his talent, John, I like what you're trying to say about drops. Now, transitioning to a film perspective or a playstyle perspective, what are the types of things you've seen, you've read about how Amon-Ra St. Brown plays the wide receiver position.
So whenever you ask me, hey, John, do you want to talk about Amon-Ra St. Brown? I'm not going to lie. I headed over to YouTube. I was watching some videos about, of Amon-Ra St. Brown. Contested catches. He gets up after the ball and a defender right there. Nice body control. There was one play specifically. He's on the sideline. He knows exactly where he is, gets his feet in bounds, and he makes the catch. But it was just that awareness, and I, like I said, I think he can line up pretty much anywhere. He was even lining up in the backfield to take some like jet sweeps there. So I think his versatility is going to be interesting. And, there's even plays that he was being used as a field stretcher, and he was having those long pass plays where, a lot of air yards there, 30, 40 yards down the field. So he can do it underneath, and he can do it deep as well. And for the cons, it's pretty much drops route running at times, but that's going to be corrected and full steam ahead for Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I like it. Enough with the tapping the brakes. let's feel the fever. How do you think Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to be for fantasy purposes in the NFL? You have a floor idea, a median range of outcomes, and then maybe a ceiling, a realistic ceiling for him.
This goes back to the names that I spit out earlier based on those minimum thresholds. And for a floor, Dante Moncrief, I guess.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think even though the draft capital much higher than I'm expecting for St. Brown, Sammy Watkins, I think Christian Kirk in terms of draft capital is going to be right in that range, that second round range. Tyler Boyd is a nice middle projection, but probably a little bit on the higher end. And I think ceiling, he's not an Amari Cooper. He's not a DeAndre Hopkins, but a Robert Woods. And I sent that tweet out and I cannot get away from it. Maybe some of it's the USC history and comparison there. But I think we're going to see Amon-Ra St. Brown, and I don't want to steal your next question, but I'm going to get into it, that 40, 45 range in terms of where he is picked in the NFL draft. And that lines up with Robert Woods there in the second round. And I just think when you look at those numbers, it's eerily similar to Robert Woods. So if you could tell me that his ceiling, his outcome is Robert Woods, I would be ecstatic. Robert Woods, one of those guys that's always disrespected, but puts up fantastic numbers. And then, like I said, Tyler Boyd kind of giving you that lower end wide receiver two range. But if that's the outcome, I'm going to be very happy. But let's avoid Dante Moncrief.
Oh, John, what could have been with Dante Moncrief? I should add, too, that when you mention Tyler Boyd as the upper end of the medium range of outcomes for Amon-Ra St. Brown, that is sexy. People need to realize just how good Tyler Boyd has been. A top 24 outcome for Amon-Ra St. Brown, that would be a win when you're picking the second round of rookie drafts.
I don't know if it's quite at 30% roster ship, but if it's not there, it's close. So I like Tyler Boyd a lot, yeah.
A little rookie rewind. In my opinion, Tyler Boyd is one of the more affordable wide receiver targets at his price, who has one of the higher likelihoods of finishing as a wide receiver two in fantasy this year. He's being slept on a little bit. But moving on, when you were talking about Robert Woods as a upper end projection for Amon-Ra St. Brown, you dropped in there second round draft capital. Is that where you're thinking Amon-Ra St. Brown, the NFL draft?
Yeah, I do. I think it's going to be second or third. Certainly not first round draft capital. I would be shocked if he's there. And with wide receiver second round draft capital, that's more than fine. We don't need the first round draft capital. So if he lands in that second, even early third, I'm going to be okay with it.
So I think you nailed it too. That's kind of where I'm thinking too. I might be leaning more towards round three just because there's a lot of wide receivers, right, in this class. There's a lot of teams who need wide receiver help too. So there's still plenty of landing spots for these rookie wide receivers. Mm-hmm. All right. So we've kind of talked about where you think he's going in the NFL draft. Now and you said you have him as your wide receiver four. Where does that kind of tier off for you amongst the other rookie wide receivers?
Ja'Marr Chase, I'm not going to get cute with it. He is far and away my wide receiver one. And then I guess it gets a little bit spicy. I have Rashad Bateman and then Devontae Smith, But then Amon-Ra St. Brown, I don't have him far from Devontae Smith. And that's where I feel comfortable taking him. But again, when you look at ADP, whenever we start getting into rookie drafts, there's going to be certainly more of separation between Smith and St. Brown than I'm saying here. So while I might have him at 201 in that wide receiver four in Superflex rookie drafts, I don't think I would have to take him there in most cases.
So if people are listening to Rookie Fever, listening to the Amon-Ra St. Brown episode right now, and you're starting to buy in, you go and you look at these stats and see he gets that draft capital. You see he has a good college production. Yeah, he's probably going to go up. His ADP is going to climb. But still, when you're at 201 and you have all these other great players in Superflex drafts, pick up an extra. If you want to take him at 201 because that's where he's in your ranks, hop back a couple picks, pick up an extra third round pick. You don't have to ask for the world. Is that how you kind of
exactly? And one reason, third round picks, what's the hit rate? You know, it not great. I don't care about a third round pick. But one thing that, and this isn't exactly Rookie Fever specific, but let's say I pick up a 2022 third to move back four or five spots and I still get Amon-Ra St. Brown. If I'm a contender in the middle of the season and Dave, you're out of contention, and we saw it this past year, you have a JD McKissick, you even have a Wayne Gallman, and I have a third or a fourth or whatever, that gives me the pieces necessary to acquire that type of player from a team that's not contending. Because I was in some situations where a team with JD McKissick was like, hey, to the whole league, if you have a third or even two fourths, I'll take it for McKissick. And my cupboard was bare. I didn't have those picks. That would have been a perfect situation for me to make that acquisition, but I couldn't do it. But if I would have moved back a few rounds in the rookie draft and picked that extra future draft capital, I would have been in business right there.
A little strategy drop there from John. Thanks for that, man. But moving on, we talked about where you're valuing Amon-Ra St. Brown over the other rookie wide receivers. Now, how does he fall in your rookie ranks when you start throwing in quarterbacks, running backs, and tight ends in your Superflex rookie rankings?
I am certainly going to have Lawrence, Fields, Wilson, Lance. So those four quarterbacks, whatever order, that's another conversation. Kyle Pitts, I'm going to have ahead of him. I'm going to have, like I said, Ja'Marr Chase, Rashad Bateman, Devontae Smith. And then I'm going to have, obviously, Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, Javonte Williams. Kenny Gainwell is that wild card. As of now, I think I would take Kenny Gainwell. But again, we're sitting here in March. I don't have to plant my flag right now. And if you make me, Dave, I'm not going to do it. So don't even try.
I'm just going to say, you're planting your flag on Amon-Ra St. Brown. That's the flare. The flag plant's going right now.
Right. But I'm thinking here, would I take him over Kenny Gainwell? That's a toss up for me. The only other wild card, if I'm, you know, let's say I'm at that 201, 202, 203, and I can't move back, and Amon-Ra St. Brown is staring me in the face, but I need quarterback help. Mac Jones is the only one. Because I think I would be surprised if Mac Jones didn't get first round NFL draft capital. So it's going to be hard to push him down too far in super flex drafts. But, like I said, the three wide receivers, Kyle Pitts, four quarterbacks, and three running backs, without a doubt, ahead of St. Brown, but probably Gainwell as well. So that's how I get to the 201.
Perfect. And that makes sense. Because honestly, for a lot of people, you're going to see those second rounds of rookie drafts before we know draft capital, it's all over the place.
Absolutely. Yep.
So it's good for, you know, we find our guys and that's the time where you can start taking your swings in the second round. There's a little bit less at stake when you get to the second round. All right. Really like how this conversation has gone so far. As we start to wrap up, cool the fever down a little bit, let's still notch up another notch here. Where does Amon-Ra St. Brown compare to wide receivers from the 2020 class? Because obviously, I think it's safe to say he's not on Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, or from a previous class, the GOAT, DJ Moore. Now, I had to slip that in here because I've heard a lot of hate from you on the DJ Moore over the days, so I make sure to get that jab in there. But honestly, I think we can say he's not on that level. Where does he fall in comparison to the Gabriel Davis, Darnell Mooney line? Because I think that's the line of demarcation for wide receivers from the 2020 class.
Yeah, and let me clarify. especially with you, because I like to get the reaction from you, Dave. I know you are a huge DJ Moore fan. I know all of your listeners know that. I still have DJ Moore as like a high, very high end wide receiver too. So even though I like to get the reaction, I do like DJ Moore, but I don't want to talk about that too much because you'll go on about DJ Moore for like 4 hours here. So
I had five things lined up and I just took a deep breath and let it go.
So back to your question, 2020, certainly Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, T. Higgins ahead of him. Brandon Ayuk, that's the interesting one. That's my probably breaking point. And then Claypool. I think those are the guys I would take ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown. What gets interesting is Jerry Jeudy. And then I know it's crazy to even think about this, but Gabriel Davis and Darnell Mooney, I don't think they're too far off from Jerry Jeudy at this point. I know a lot of people, we probably made it through 45 minutes here. And people are like, okay, I can get on board with what this guy's saying, but I just lost him right there. I almost made it almost.
It was a good run.
It was, but Jerry Jeudy is the one. And that's more based on Denver and Drew Lock than it is Jerry Jeudy. Amon-Ra St. Brown ahead of Davis and Darnell Mooney, even though I like both of them a lot. I have those two valued kind of mid 2021 second. So if you want to talk 205, 6, 7, somewhere in that range. And then Amon-Ra Brown, obviously I said 201, kind of jumping around a little bit there, but Jefferson, Lamb, Higgins, Ayuk ahead of him and Claypool. And then Jeudy pretty much right on par with Amon-Ra, and then Davis and Mooney just a little bit behind.
So perfect. No, I think that just shows you, because a lot of people love Gabriel Davis and Darnell Mooney, but for you, where you are on the Rookie Fever scale, he's above that line for you. And that's perfectly fine. But that just provides some really good context for people who have a good grasp on the 2020 class or last year's rookie class and where Amon-Ra St. Brown stacks up for you. But some people might not have quite the grasp on this 2021 class yet. So that gives some good context to just how much rookie fever you've got for the Amon-Ra St. Brown. As for the final question, I think everyone kind of, this is a nice little icing the cake. What are some ideal landing spots for Amon-Ra St. Brown? And maybe just mix in one, I don't want him to go there for his NFL fantasy wide receiver success.
Well, for ideal landing spot, if Curtis Samuel, it sounds like he's going to be out of Carolina. I would like him in Carolina with Joe Brady as the offensive coordinator. And then whatever quarterback they bring in, I think that's going to be a really exciting offense. The Chargers, Mike Williams, 1 year left. Yeah, year one could be rough, but you get Amon-Ra St. Brown, Keenan Allen. Maybe they get Kyle Pitts. I talked about them possibly being a team looking at him. Detroit, I just think there's so much opportunity there. And then I don't mind Arizona. You know, I just think the way that team plays, again, an exciting offense. Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know, not traveling too far from Southern California. I don't want him to go to New England, Baltimore, Vegas. Those are the spots. I actually really like Derek Carr, but if you get in the way of my man, Darren Waller, I can't even, you're not even on my draft board anymore. So if Amon-Ra St. Brown goes to the Raiders, maybe I'll take him in the fourth. Maybe. No, but especially New England and Baltimore, please. I don't want you getting, I don't want Cam Newton throwing you the ball. I don't want Lamar Jackson throwing you the ball on the 13 pass attempts he'll have all season. So please avoid those landing spots.
Ooh, some interesting landing spots there, John. But John, we did it. We're under the hour mark, which is we went, almost 2 hours last time we got on the air together. So this is an improvement. This is what we call efficiency.
This is a big improvement for me. You and I, we could probably do a 24-hour marathon just between the two of us. I don't know if anybody would want to listen to me I don't know if they want to listen to me for 24 minutes. You know, Dave, it's always an absolute blast. You're one of the guys, one of the people on Twitter, and just the interactions that I have absolutely nothing bad to say. I could, well, besides the DJ Moore love.
Yeah. Come on, let's not pull any punches. John, sincerely, I've really enjoyed this. On behalf of Swags, on behalf of Mike Finero and myself, really thank you coming on and to being a part of our rookie profile series. We're just really interested to talk to different people, get different points of view, is we just dive deep on these prospects. So thank you. But before we head out, please tell us all the things you're doing in the fantasy community. You're talking to some of the nicest, the most genuine, and smartest people in fantasy. Tell us all about that.
Yeah, well, again, Dave, thank you so much for having me. And you can find me on Twitter at The Bauer Club. But every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm on Dynasty Theory, and I have to plug Mitch Sorensen, that's at DynoMC, Dan Lamagna at FF Coach Dan. They are my two fantastic co-hosts. Even though they get me a little riled up at times, I could not imagine doing that show with anybody else. And then every Wednesday night, well, during the off season, it's every other Wednesday night, but during the season, every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, that's with Troy King at T King Mode, Linda, that's at Lindellians, and then Mitch, I can't get rid of him. He's on Fantasy Football Confidential with me as well. But yeah, we have a great Discord chat community going on for Dynasty Theory. If anybody's interested, please reach out to me. I'll throw the link over. I think we have people from four different countries, and it's literally nonstop conversations, and it's just a great community that's growing. But yeah, again, Dave, an absolute blast. And I can't wait for the live draft show we're doing at Dynasty Theory. I even changed it. We're keeping you on for an hour this year. We're keeping you on for an hour.
Oh my gosh. As a producer, you can always ask me as soon, you know, I'm sure there's some give there. But everyone, honestly, who's listening, please go out and check out that NFL draft show. It's going to be a blast. It was a blast last year. And be sure to check it. And John, I'm going to say he undersold his podcast because he's getting the best guests in fantasy onto those shows. And that's not me. I'm not talking about me. It's talking about Matthew Berry. It's talking about Aaron D. Barons. He's getting the best of the best for guests. And the amount of strategy talk, the amount of analysis is definitely worth going to check out. So, John, thanks again for coming on, man.
I appreciate that, Dave. I really do.
Oh, yeah, John. 100%, man. You know that Dynasty Theory and FF Confidential are in my podcast rotation. But as we say goodbye, and you're listening to this rookie profile of Amon-Ra St. Brown, and you have not listened to the other rookie profiles earlier in the series from myself, from at Aardvark TV, Mike Pinero, and at Swagzilla0G, Shane Swagger, make sure you do, because Swags had on Felix Sharp to talk to Murray Terry, and that was really intriguing. And then Finero had on Jason DiRienzo to talk Elijah Moore, who's skyrocketing up boards right now. But on that note, thank you all very much for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Rookie Fever Podcast.